Well, as many of you know, we have a dog whose name is Marley. Some of you have seen him. He's a golden retriever mix, a little small for a golden retriever, and he has a sort of puffy tail and one eye that's partially blue because we think he's part husky, believe it or not. He's a good dog. And Harry and I like to take turns walking Marley. He gets a morning walk and an evening walk. I like to take him on his walk because it's nice to be outside in the neighborhood to see what's going on weather-wise and people-wise, and because I live on Davis Island, construction-wise. We're always building something. Well, recently walking Marley, going down the sidewalk, I saw an odd cluster of what looked sort of like coins on the sidewalk, lots of them, maybe hundreds. And good Presbyterian that I am, I thought they might be some kind of coin. So I stopped to see what they were. They're about dime size. They turned out to be seeds that had dropped from seed pods in the tree above me. Well, that was fascinating. So I stopped to study the seeds and the pods. I think Marley probably thought I was crazy. Made me think of Robert Frost's poem. You know that poem, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, and what the horse was doing? My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near between the woods and frozen lake the darkest hour of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. So no doubt Marley was ready to shake his dog tags a little bit and say, come on, will ya? But I had been working with the kids here at the church on Wednesday nights with the CE team. We had been doing a unit on new life, that is, resurrection, right? Daniel and David are here. That's what we've been talking about. And we got talking about the symbols that the church uses for new life, because I think resurrection is a kind of a hard concept to wrap your brain around. So what are the things that we talk about? You know, one is butterflies, right? Because a caterpillar moves into a cocoon and then becomes a butterfly. Another thing that happens, we use Easter eggs. Have you ever thought about how Easter eggs come to be a symbol of the resurrection? It's because when the egg hatches, out comes what? A chick, yeah, or a snake, or a something or other. But something that doesn't look like an egg. So there's this new life. Well, the other thing is what? What's another thing that is new life, David? What? A seed, like those seeds that I found on the sidewalk. In fact, you took some of those. David broke, because I brought some seeds and some of those seed pods, and he broke one of the seed pods open and saw how the seeds come out, and he said he was going to plant them. I'm warning you, Amy, it'll be a big tree. Yes? You broke them both open? Okay. So what I tried to do was bring a green one and one that was dried up kind of brown but not yet open, and then one that had already opened and spilled out its seeds so they could see the transformation. So that was pretty interesting. Think about the Easter lily, of course, because a bulb is kind of fist size sometimes, and it's ugly, and you plant it under the ground deep, and then later it comes up as a sprout, and then a plant, and then a beautiful lily, and that's a sign of resurrection. Yes'm? That's right, I've done that. That's a resurrection roll, a resurrection biscuit maybe. Lots of ideas about that. Well, so I gathered up some of those seeds and some of those pods and brought them. And you're probably like Marley, wondering what in the world I'm talking about now. You see, Jesus used this image, not so much of seeds and plants, but of vines and branches. He tells us that he is the vine, and those who follow him are the branches. The metaphor is the vineyard, isn't it? The vine is the grapevine, which grows from the ground and comes up, and the vines, the branches grow out of the vine. It turns out that the best grapes grow from the branches that are closest to the vine. Did you know that? I read that this week. I don't know if it's always true. It sounded like a good thing. And it makes sense because it's the main vine that comes out of the roots and the soil and carries the nutrients to the branches. So being closest to those nutrients means that you really get what you need for growing. If a grower then wants excellent fruit, excellent grapes, he or she should keep those branches trimmed, pruned closest to the main vine so that they are, all the branches growing out are getting the most nutrients. I heard a man once in a Bible study of all things telling about his mother and his aunt. It turns out that they lived next door to each other. And they each had one of those grape, how do you say this, grape arbor things that the vines grow up and around. And so they were next door to each other. They had the same kind of light and the same kind of soil, and they were using the same kind of fruit. But the aunt's grapevine was lush and thick with grapes that were plentiful and juicy every year. But his mother's vines would hardly bear any fruit at all. The branches under her arbor were a tangle of woody stalks. And he explained that his mother simply could not stand to prune the branches. It hurt her to go out there and do it. She just said, I don't want to cut them. Well, then they wouldn't bear. They didn't have the leaves. They didn't have the nutrients. They didn't bear the fruit. I am the vine, Jesus tells us. You are the branches. Well, I've been thinking about that, about what Jesus says. He's telling us that when we stay connected to him, we will bear much fruit. Because apart from him, we really can't do anything. His point is that we are really intended to bear fruit. We're not intended just to grow and be branches connected to a vine, but we're meant to be branches that bear fruit, that make a difference in the world, that our love for Jesus, growing out of Jesus' love for us, of course, that our love spills over and becomes a blessing for others. The passage in 1 John 4 tells us what the fruit is that we are to bring forth. It is love. After all, God is love. And if we love others because God first loved us, that then becomes the fruit, the love that we experience in God and let spill over from us. So think about how the connection makes it possible that God first loved us before we ever responded to God, before we were even lovable. God loves us. And because of God's love, we are charged with loving others. It really has to be that way. Loving God who is love means we must be people of love ourselves. How could it be otherwise? So we cannot live in hate or bitterness or distrust. We can't live with prejudice toward others, treating them badly. We have to learn to grow in loving toward others. And of course, I think that's because of the vine, because of our connection to God. Being connected to God through the love of Jesus means we are connected to that nourishing source of love, just as the branches of the grapevine are connected to the main vine. Being connected to the source of nourishment, the branches can bear the grapes, the fruit, and being connected to Jesus, we also can bear fruit in others, in loving others. So I was thinking about that. There are lots of ways for us to be connected to Jesus. The first one is the direct way. We are connected to Jesus in worship, in prayer, in reading the Bible, in studying the scripture, the stories. You can read and study and pray at home. You can be part of a study or prayer group with the church or maybe somewhere else for that matter. But there's this connection between me and God, or you and God, that individual connection that keeps us close to Jesus, to the vine. That's a good, solid connection. And I encourage you to nourish that connection by doing exactly that. Stay engaged in prayer and in study and in reading the texts. But we're also, it seems to me, connected to one another. And that is like an outward sign of this connection. It's one way that the connection with Jesus bears fruit, by connecting us to one another. So here's an example that I've been living with lately. It is my hope that the classes and activities and friendships we provide for children here at church are like that. I hope that we are helping them lately understand what new life is and how the resurrection of Jesus means new life for us, for our kids, for their families, for all of us. That's the promise of Christ. And I believe by working with them and helping them have experiences about that helps them experience the connection with Jesus for themselves. So it seems to me that when any one of us, any of you in this room in a pew, or me, any of us in the programs, whenever we compliment a child or a teenager for doing a good job, lighting the candles at church maybe, or reading in a play, or being polite in Hambly Hall, or having such an infectious smile, that, just doing that, nurtures the connection with that child, with that child's family, and Jesus. Those are precious moments, I think, when we share love, bearing fruit for Jesus. Of course, some of those moments happen in a Christian education classroom setting or some kind of planned activity. But some of those moments are simply the moments when you make a connection with one of the children of the church. Letting the love of God spill out of you because fills you up so much, that love, and you're now showing it to someone else. That's the connection. And this church is really good about connections. You cherish the friendships you have here. You are willing to pray for one another and to reach out when you know that someone else is hurting. You invite others to become part of the church family. Okay, informally, introducing yourself, I hope, sharing a smile and a greeting, showing interest, extending friendship. You even sometimes ask, I think, for support for yourself. Letting folks know when you have a need, when you need prayer, when you feel lonely or distressed. And that kind of reaching out can be a gift of love as well. Telling the community, I value your concern for me and your way of showing God's love to me. The point is that these connections are part of the grapevine that connect us all to Christ and to one another. Another connection we've been part of this week, this particular week, is the Kairos Prison Ministry. You may remember that Tim and Debbie Lawrence are away this weekend. They're usually here with Abby. They're not here today. Because Tim is participating in a Kairos prison event. He always likes to say, you all always knew I needed to go to jail. So he's going to jail to share the love of Jesus with prisoners in that facility. Debbie is part of the off-site support group, holding the team up in prayer hour by hour from Thursday afternoon until later today. But Tim asked the members of our church session to pray for that Kairos event. We took half hours that we either prayed during that half hour or prayed some other time for their work during that half hour. And I was really glad to pray for them during my half hour yesterday morning from 8:30 to 9. I spent that time praying and reading the scriptures. I understand that Bill Alsman signed up for one of those mornings from, I think it was 4:30 to 5, something like that, right, Bill? He says, I'm up anyway. I was real glad that wasn't my time slot. But think about the connection. Tim is doing something that is deeply meaningful for him. He's visiting those in prison. That's biblical, isn't it? Certainly it is. He's sharing the gospel and love of Christ with prisoners. That's a truly wonderful thing. But it's also wonderful that we can lift up our connection with Tim and his work, praying for a segment of the time, bringing cookies and snacks for their support, helping fund some of their needs. Our connection with Tim, you see, is part of our connection to Jesus. It's even part of Tim's connection to Jesus, because together we are branches of the vine. Together we are bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. Someone mentioned the other day that we are in some ways a core of people. I think they meant we've gotten down to the small group, the core. And I sort of quickly said, think about the core of an apple. If you slice into an apple to get down to the core, what are you looking at? The seeds. You're looking at the part of the apple that would grow into a new tree. Bear fruit. Our connection with one another grows out of our connection with Jesus. Likewise, our connection with Jesus is supported and lifted up by our connections with one another. So here's my word for you today. Stay connected with Jesus, the true vine. Read the Bible. Pray every day, even if you're not eloquent, but just connect with God in that way. Be here at church to connect with brothers and sisters in Christ. I know sometimes it takes effort to be here, but it's important for all of us to be together to worship. And reach out to one another. I'll challenge you. Reach out especially to the children, to those who are new among us, to those who seem fragile. Do the simple things. Smile at them. Give them a compliment. See if you can get them to smile back at you. I bet you will like it if they do. But even more, I know that they will like it, because they will get the message that you cared about them, that you took an interest in them. A friend of mine once said, people don't want you to love them. They want you to enjoy them. I think enjoyment may be a little slice of love. Smile at people around us. And let's agree to pray for one another. I know how much that means, that really means to me, to know that you are praying for me and for my life and for my work. Let's pray for one another. The reality is that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And the closer we are to him and to one another, the more fruit we will bear for Christ our Lord. Let us pray.